Good morning. We'll call this landlord meeting to order. On the phone is our superintendent and attorney general. Why don't it's a motion to approve the minutes? All those in favor say aye.
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 The motion passes. Let's go to the first action item.
Governor, the first action item is in Beaverhead County for the Pistol Peak timber sale. Benefits the common schools. Estimated revenue $374,000. This sale is located 12 miles east of Medina, Montana, down in the southwest corner. 24 harvest units, 664 acres, estimated 6.6 million board feet. The treatment is designed to restore the overstock stands to historic open conditions while improving horse health and diversity. We are going to construct 2.4 miles of temporary road, but we're also going to convert 5 culverts for fish passage and best management practices for some west slope cutthroat fishery in the area. We recommend the sale of the Pistol Peak timber sale.
Is there any public comment? Is there a motion regarding the Pistol Peak timber sale?
Governor, I move
go ahead.
Approval of 915-1.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes. Next action item, oil and gas lease sale.
Agenda item 2, oil and gas lease sale. We offered tracts in Blaine, Richland, Roosevelt, 208 Yellowstone Counties, beneficiaries, common school. Trust revenue $16,988. Governor, this is a very low valued oil and gas sale, reflecting, I think, current market conditions and uncertainty. When you see Richland County tract with no bids, you know the market has softened quite a bit. We do recommend the approval of this to issue this lease. It's a September 2015 sale.
Is there any public comment? Is there a motion?
I move item 915-2, the oil and gas lease sale.
Second.
Is there discussion? Yes, I'd ask, recognize the director, he's a part of this market. Again, is there much land to lease anyway out there?
Governor, I'll turn it over to our Manuel Bureau Chief.
Governor, members of the board, our primary area in the Williston Basin, where Bakken is the major producer, is under lease. We're talking mostly outlier type sections.
Right. Any other questions or comments?
That would include the Richland County section. It's not right in the Bakken. It's on the side.
Any other questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Let's go to the next action item.
This action item 3, indemnity sections, selected state land parcels. We were briefed on this prior. This is remnants lands over the Enabling Act of 1889 are now retired and sitting in his home, maybe, probably not, listening to the landlord bureau chief. John Grimm did yeoman's job working with the Bureau of Land Management and selecting potential tracts of BLM land that would be moved to state ownership should BLM agree to list. What this is a list of priority order of sections that the state has identified that are primarily in eastern Montana. Your packets were updated with maps last Friday so that you could see some of the specific sections. We don't expect, if the process were perfect, the BLM would just go down in order until they reached the value of the lands owed, which is $4.1 million. They will probably hunt and pick from this list as to what they want to trade, and then we will come back to the land selection from BLM for approval of that as well as we move forward. So this is a first step as we move into the BLM process and mirrors what was done in the 1980s.
Public comment. And just so I know, what is the motion sought?
The motion is to approve the selected land parcels so that we can move these to the BLM for their review.
Is there a motion reflecting the same?
Second.
Discussion.
I have a couple of questions.
Please.
Governor, Commissioner Lindeen, members of the board. For the record, Sean Thomas, Trust Lands Administrator for DNRC. We work closely with primarily two of our field offices, our Southern Land Office and our Eastern Land Office, to sort of try to find a place to start discussions with the two local BLM field offices. So that was where it initially started. The BLM actually has a list of what they call disposal lands that they presented to us first. We were struggling to find lands within that list of disposal lands that looked like they met criteria to generate positive revenue. So we worked together back and forth to try to get to a point where we could identify some other lands that had public access. Many of these parcels are along waterfront because some of the lands we didn't get were along waterfront, for example. And so we worked with BLM local offices to come up with a list that's in front of you today. We prioritized it based on what our needs are, and we need to go back with BLM and see what their needs are. We did ask the BLM the question. Somebody on the land board staff brought that question up. Would it be possible to find opportunities for people that have BLM in holdings, and given a difficult process to try to acquire in holdings from the BLM that might be easier through our land banking program? So we talked to the local BLM offices. We haven't contacted landowners or lessees necessarily on this issue, but BLM had some of the stuff that went into this list where they said, yeah, we think this is one that somebody's, you know, indicated to us somewhere in the past they might like to acquire. So those opportunities are somewhat contained within this list, and we'll continue to explore that idea. I think it's a good one.
Governor and Commissioner, I'd also point out that we started to include some of those BLM lands as in holdings to state trust land properties. So, for example, in the middle of the Tongue River Ranch that was acquired, there was a couple of BLM tracts, and we're proposing that those be traded into state ownership and block up the Tongue River Ranch into common ownership. So the other side of that issue is also good.
Other questions or comments? Secretary McCullough.
Yes, I understand this happened. It came before the land board last in 1980. So is this the last time that this will occur?
Mr. Governor, Secretary, no, it is not. This is just the first, and frankly, we've talked a lot about whether we bring this draft list to the land board. That was what the process was in the mid-80s, which is the preliminary list was brought before for review. BLM will more than likely not agree with all of our nominations. And so as we negotiate that out, we'll come back again with another list that is more solid to the land board. And ultimately, there's a public process that BLM has to go through.
I understand all of that. Okay. I mean, will the whole process take place another time, another time for the land board?
That question.
the big question.
This would conclude our acquisition of lands under the Enabling Act of 1889.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next action item, 915-4, land banking parcels, minimum bid for sale.
Thank you.
Item four lists two properties. Oh, no, this is the Swan Lake property that we are trying to get set for minimum bid. It's Lake County Common Schools, estimated value $780,000. This is what we refer to as the Swan Valley Retreat in Lake County. And the last time it was occupied as Cornerstone Programs, a private organization specialized in treatment of juvenile offenders. Once that was closed, the department has tried to market it several times, but has been unsuccessful. The facility consists of a large lodge, dormitory, kitchen, administrative buildings, a shop, and a community water system, and wastewater system, and additional amenities. It does cost us about $9,000 to keep the project in minimal maintenance. We are going to, it's located in the middle of the Swan Valley near our Swan Valley unit on Highway 83. And what we would like to do is our recommendation is to set the minimum bid, and we will offer it as both a lease and sale option, and see if we can get interested parties over the next 6 months.
So public comment. Is there a motion?
Second.
Second, Governor.
Give it to Tim. Any discussion? Please. Go ahead, Attorney General. Go ahead.
I was fortunate enough to get a wonderful tour of some of the forested lands over in that area. I want to thank Sean and all the other staff at DNRC. If my recollection is correct, the regional headquarters, or one of the headquarters, was right across the road from this lot, and I think I recall helicopters staging for firefighting in a vacant area that you see in your map on page 19, off to the east of the Highway 83. My question is, if I'm correct on that, and if that's an area that's been important for staff, firefighters, and others to use as a staging area, is there any chance that we can secure some sort of an agreement to continue to do that in the future if we need to?
Administrator Thomas, speak to that.
Governor, General Fox, members of the board. General Fox, you're correct. That's where we were standing in the parking lot at our office that day, and a helicopter landed into that grassy area right across the highway. We actually have a formal dedicated helipad, which you can also see on the aerial photo, which is on the west side of Highway 83. I can check with our staff, and if that's a good consideration, I think, and I'll see if our staff thinks that we need to do something, we could retain some sort of rights to utilize that for that purpose, I think, into the future.
Thank you.
Any additional comments or questions? Secretary McCullough.
My question is, when I was in the legislature in the 90s, I visited when it was the boot camp. So I have two questions. One, are the buildings, I mean, with the $9,000 maintenance a year, are the buildings still in fairly good shape? And second question is, do we know of any interest in buying this?
Governor, Secretary McCullough, so $9,000 a year in maintenance is sort of the bare minimum. We have, there's quite an extensive network of sewage treatment facilities that exist on this site, have lagoons, et cetera, that we have to keep some heat, keep those things moving, water through them, et cetera. So it's really minimum. We haven't kept up a lot of the buildings in terms of stain, paint, those sorts of things. So every year that goes by, the condition of the facility gets a little bit, you know, it needs more and more work all the time. That being said, I think it's still in pretty good shape. It wouldn't take a lot to put it back into service. And I lost track of the second part of your question.
Do you have any interest in buying it?
Our local folks at the Northwestern Land Office have heard in at least a couple of parties that have expressed some interest in either a purchase or a lease option. So we think there's something worth moving it down the road here this winter and seeing if that bears out. Otherwise, we'll put a more long-term marketing strategy in place to try to sell it in the spring.
Please.
You mentioned interest in leasing it. Are we interested in leasing
Governor, Secretary McCullough, you know, when it was a leased property, it actually, you know, made a healthy return for the beneficiaries, and, you know, that ownership within the Swan River State Forest has been somewhat important to the local community. So if we could have a good lessee on it, I think that would be fine with the department.
And I'll only for the notes, Gary, that it's probably about a year, maybe it's about a year ago that they were considering bringing it up. We did do some work to try to find, because in some ways it's a fairly unique asset, if there was either a university unit or others that might utilize that, and haven't been successful in that. So yes, this one, that's why we're putting it up. Additional questions or comments? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. Next action item, 915.5.
This is to set the minimum bid sale price for sales 759 and 760, Flathead County, Beneficiary Montana Tech. Estimated revenue to the trust, $604,000. We are requesting that the minimum bid be set for the two cabin sites nominated in Flathead County. These are parcels that the landowners objected to the original appraisal due to the no value originally provided for the improvements. It went to a contested hearing before the department, at which the hearing examiner ruled that the taxable value of the improvements would be the value of the improvements listed. Those are provided now in on the second page of the agenda item, and we recommend that we set the minimum values on these two cabin sites and move forward.
Is there any public comment about setting the minimum value of the two cabin sites?
Mr. Chairman, members of the land board, my name is Randy Knowles from Great Falls, Montana. After reviewing this in the notes, the thought that came to me is that when you look at the valuation of the property, that does not really reflect the value of the property. That reflects the value society places on waterfront property. And if we look at the number of state parks that are around Flathead Lake, I think that speaks loudly to the value that Montanans and society as a whole places on the ability to utilize water. Since the water in Echo Lake is public property, I really think that society would be better served here if this the lessees were removed and it was these two lots turned into state park. And I know there's no money right now for state park to purchase this property, but does it mean that by the time the lessees were moved off that there wouldn't be that situation? And waterfront property is just too valuable of a community resource to allow it to be privatized.
Any additional public comments? Is the motion?
I move item 915-5, the sale of cabin home sites. Set in the bid.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We'll give that to the superintendent, sure.
Yep.
Any questions or discussion?
Yes, Governor, I would ask that we have some kind of feedback from the department to address the questions that Mr. Knowles brought up in terms of the feasibility of the state park and these two parcels.
Governor? Commissioner, first about the sale. It is very clear that the legislature has worked over multiple sessions directing the department and encouraging the landlord to look at cabin site sales as a resolution path forward for what is a rather contentious issue that we face every year and almost every day in the department. The second part is as we work with the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in securing already existing parks. The department has made it clear to us that they struggle in maintaining and keeping
pace with the value of the lands that they currently lease. We are looking for long-term resolution on existing properties, and they've expressed no interest in additional property. Now, we can go back and raise the issue. The comment does properly indicate I don't believe there's money in the department probably to bid on these parcels if they wish to go through the public process, which is available to the state should we wish to acquire these. They could be a bidder on these properties and try to purchase them. I would also point out that the current lessee would have the opportunity to refuse the sale should anybody try to bid on the property.
Go ahead, John.
Governor, Commissioner Lindeen, just to sort of expand on the director's response, I would just add that we do have a fishing access site located on Soul Trust lands in this neighborhood that provides public access to Echo Lake that's located on Soul Trust lands.
How many state leases do we have on Echo Lake? It's okay if you don't.
Governor, it's more than 10. Less than 50.
Additional questions or comments? Well, and just I guess one more question, just to reiterate. Even if the decision was lots 36 and lots 37 would be the best state park, A, it would still have to, the state would still have to acquire it at fair market value, and B, current lessees would have right of first refusal.
Governor, yes, that's correct.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion passes. Next action item, 2015 sustained yield calculation.
Governor and land board members, we are bringing for you the adoption of the final sustainable yield calculation for 2015. I'm very proud of our forestry staff and trust lands for the development of this, as well as their contractor, Mason Bruce and Girard. This is a Montana-grown sustained yield calculation that represents the best science that we've been able to place to this particular topic in the history of the program. Not to say that we did not build this on the shoulders of the past foresters who brought us here today, because if they hadn't done their efforts, we couldn't have gotten this far. I'll have staff provide a brief overview of the sustained yield calculation and then ask for adoption.
Governor, members of the Land Board, for the record, my name is Anya German. I'm the Forest Management Bureau Chief for Trust Lands with DNRC. And I have a handout for the Land Board today. And it's, for the record, it's the executive summary for the sustainable yield calculation. It's posted on our website, and I believe it is also posted on the Land Board page, along with the report. Maybe not.
But it can be.
It will be.
Thank you, Lucy. And thank you, Director. I want to briefly just take you through a number of components of the sustainable yield calculation to give you a brief overview of the history of this particular calculation and some of the nuances and components that are important to cover. First of all, Senate Bill 154 was passed in 2013 requiring the department to conduct another sustainable yield calculation. The department's acquisition of nearly 70,000 acres of former industry-owned land was the catalyst of this bill. And in 2014, we contracted with Mason, Bruce, and Girard to do this calculation that we have before you today. And consequently, they have done two of our previous calculations, one in 2004 and one in 2011. And as indicated in the Land Board agenda item and in the attached PowerPoints that you should have received, our annual sustainable yield was calculated to be 53.2 in 2004 and 57.6 in 2011. And that 4.4 million board foot increase between these two calculations was due to the adoption of the HCP, which you approved, this board approved in 2011. and the HCP made Grizzly Bear Security Corps available for management, which was a change from our previous strategy in the Stillwater and Coal Creek State Forests. In August of 2014, a U.S. District Court order placed an injunction on all activities within the Stillwater Block. So at the onset of this project, we were required to run different scenarios. One, as if the current injunction was going to continue to be in place, and two, as if we'd be able to return to the HCP, Grizzly Bear Conservation Strategy for the Stillwater Block, and ultimately that second scenario proved to be very unlikely. And on August 31st, and thank you very much for having this special land board meeting, the land board approved the settlement agreement with the plaintiffs in Friends of the Wild Swan versus Jewel et al. The scenario that we're bringing you today for your approval represents the settlement agreement you approved on the 31st. And the settlement agreement brought over 10,000 acres and 1.4 million board feet back into management above and beyond the current injunction. So with the current injunction in place, the calculation came to 55.5, and the annual sustainable yield that we're asking you to approve today is 59.6 million board feet, plus an additional 1.1 million board feet per year of helicopter harvest should those markets prove to be viable into the future. And, of course, this adoption of this particular calculation is pending the lifting of the injunction by Judge Malloy in the U.S. District Court, which we hope to be happening within the coming weeks. And a little bit more about the background. We indicated in the fiscal note during the 2013 legislative session, and we also followed the recommendations given to us by our contractor, Mason Bruce and Gerard. We made a number of commitments and held true to those throughout this project, and one was that we gathered more and better data rather than relying on other data that was not gathered from our lands. We put in over 5,000 plots of into our forested stands. And through this effort, we discovered that nearly 15% of our commercial forested land base had suffered significant mortality due to fire, insect, and disease since 2004. This wasn't fully captured in the 2011 calculation. We also made significant strides in identifying stream layers, ensuring that we are not putting sensitive stands into the calculation. We also tapped the expertise of our field foresters and unit managers to identify parcels that cannot be available for management. And we used several sources to calibrate our growth and yield to make the model more accurate. So with the calculation we bring before you today, we believe this is the contractor's and the department's best effort to date, bringing forth a sustainable yield before this board. It not only seeks to maximize the timber we can sustainably harvest from our lands, but it also incorporates all of our commitments to biodiversity, wildlife, fisheries, and watersheds made through the HCP, State Forest Land Management Plan, BMPs, SMC law, and administrative rules for forest management. And with this calculation, we are proud to report that we will continue to account for 15 to 20% of the annual volume harvested within the state, while owning less than 5% of the commercial forested land base. And we will continue to be excellent stewards of the land to ensure the sustainability and sound management of these lands into the future. And something that I also wanted to note is we had extensive public involvement with this project. We received very few comments throughout the project. We did engage heavily with the wood products industry, and we met with them on several occasions, including the week before last when I announced the final calculation to them. And really quickly to wrap up, I wanted to make a few thank yous. First of all, I'd very much like to thank my Deputy Bureau Chief, Gary Frank, was the project manager for this. He did a tremendous job doing the best calculation that we've had today. Our silviculturist, Tim Spolma, who's also in the crowd today, who did just outstanding work. The rest of my staff at the Forest Management Bureau area and unit staff who supported the effort. And of course, Mason, Bruce, and Gerard, they're excellent to work with and an incredible, incredible resource to the state of Montana. And I'd also like to thank Administrator Thomas, Director Tubbs and Deputy Director Beck for supporting our efforts on this project. Thank you very much, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you very much, Sonia. Is there any public comment? Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Questions or comments? Secretary.
I have a comment. I think it was the 2001 session, the calculation made me remember this, because we had such a low calculation for 1996. And so in 2001, then Secretary of State Bob Brown and myself as a superintendent, both on the land board, had a bill to increase the sustainable yield until a new calculation could be come up with. We did this with the support of the DNRC and all the land board. And so we did increase, memory serves, we did increase the sustainable yield to just under the 2004 calculation. But it enabled us to have a sustainable yield that was higher than 42.2 in preparation for the new sustainable yield. So just a little color.
No, that is helpful. Did you have something to say, Sonia?
Governor, members of land board, thank you to Jen. I mistakenly said 59.6, and I want to correct myself and say 56.9. Thank you. I'm glad somebody's paying attention. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? I guess I'd also echo, great job, as much as that I think that this is probably the most accurate that we've had, and really looking at the what's on the ground as well. And also compliment you and reiterate that, we're looking at 5% of sort of the timbered area, still providing 15 to 20% of that harvest, yet also ensuring that we are keeping the forest healthy and maintaining the ecological attributes that I think are so important. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. And just to reiterate, too, I think that you made the motion. It is contingent upon federal court approval of the HCP settlement agreement. Next action item.
Governor, item 7 is a proposed settlement agreement with Montrust versus the state of Montana et al. I'm hoping your office are aware that fruitful negotiations on this lawsuit over the past 2 weeks leading towards a new recommendation from the department that I will provide momentarily in this case. The Montrust lawsuit is a litigation over Senate Bill 409 enacted by the 2011 legislature, and specifically Alternative 3B, implementing administrative rules based on constitutionality. This is the second time up, but I think we might be looking for a third time that we have our attorney in the audience. I don't know, do you want to provide any information on it? So I'll just go to the recommendation and we can ask questions of this. So what we would recommend at this point, due to the positive negotiations that have occurred in the last few weeks, and specifically bringing in the group of affected leaseholders, the cabin owners, their attorney began discussions with the three other attorneys. And so I would recommend that the board defer consideration of the current settlement agreement for 1 month to provide the board with DNRC so that we can provide the board with a brief litigation status report October 9th, and then direct us to report back to the board at its October 19th, 2015 meeting on its efforts to obtain a global settlement to fully and finally resolve this case.
Before I public comment, or before I ask public comments, just to ensure that we all know what we're talking about, is so there are documents in here. There's a proposed settlement agreement, but that is, we're looking at a global potential for a global agreement. I mean, even the text in this proposed settlement agreement isn't necessarily what would be discussed.
Governor, this was an agreement reached by three parties of the settlement, with the addition of the fourth party. I suspect that language will change, and we of course have been the last month trying to negotiate changes in specific language for the land board. We will continue our efforts to rectify that issue before the other three parties, and then I think with the cabin leaseholders directly involved in negotiations, we're likely to see some additional language that they would like to see in the settlement.
Public comment.
Good morning, Governor, Commissioner McCullough, Commissioner Lindy, Viv Hamill, Chief Legal Counsel for the Montana University System, the Board of Regents, and Clay Christian. We are asking that you do postpone this. We have a meeting this Friday with all the parties. Hopefully we can come to a global resolution of it. If we can't, we would be back here with, reluctantly, with a modified settlement agreement that wouldn't have the leaseholders on it, and that does result in there still being a tail of litigation left to put to rest. Hopefully that would be short-lived, but at the moment we're hopeful. So we do ask that you continue it at least to your next land board meeting, and hopefully we can be back all holding hands with a fully signed and executed agreement by all parties. Thank you.
Thanks, Viv. Additional public comment.
Governor, members of the land board, my name is Margaret Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N. I represent the Montana State Leaseholders Association. We are here also to ask you to please defer a decision on this. We are very optimistic that a better settlement can be reached, and we look forward to working on that and coming before the October land board meeting with something we can support. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. Additional public comment. Is there a motion? And the recommendation is to defer consideration of any settlement agreement. There would be a report back on October 9th. And ultimately, then, a land board meeting October 19th.
I move item 915-7 to defer consideration of the proposed settlement agreement of Montrose versus State.
Is there a second?
Second, Governor. Second here.
Attorney General seconds. Are there questions or comments? Any additional comments, questions? All those in favor of deferring consideration, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Before, oh, no, easements, 915-8.
Item 8, easements, there's 8 applicants for easements. They include historic county roads. Again, thanks to Toole County for free and Liberty County for putting their roads back into properly east status. Department of Transportation for new road construction. historic private access road and some buried utility lines. We recommend approval of the easement package.
Is there any public comment on the easement package at 915-8? Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Did you say 915-4?
Oh. 915-8.
Secondly.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes. Before we get to public comment, Director, could you give me a little bit of the status of either implementing or where we are with the implementing executive orders related to sage-grouse?
Thank you, Governor. You executed an executive order September 8th updating the sage-grouse conservation initiative. That has ramifications for management of trust lands. What we will do is bring back to you at your October 19th meeting the executive order, provide an information overview, and ask the board to adopt it. Following that, we will bring forward in subsequent board meetings in November and December to critical areas, and one is grazing standards under the executive order, and we hope to have those before the board in November. And then, as you know, native habitat and range is critical to the long-term sustainability of the sage-grouse, so we'll be coming forward with an option for preventing additional sod busting on state land, tearing out existing habitat and moving it into agriculture. So those two provisions will be coming up in November and December, and we wanted to get it on the radar screen for the whole land board, given the gravity of the issue for the state.
Thanks, Director. Any members of the land board have questions for the director about that just little status update? Now it's time in the meeting for public comment for items that were not otherwise on the agenda. Is there any public comment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the land board, my name is Randy Knowles from Great Falls, Montana. First of all, I'm going to get this book out of the way before we drop it on the floor. So I highly recommend this book called The Fractors. Basically, it's a history of the wildcatters of the United States that discovered how to frack the shale that's in the Bakken. And if you want to understand the future of Montana coal reserves, you want to read this book. There's no future for Montana coal except to export that coal overseas. So we need to be active in those negotiations for those new coal export ports that are being discussed at this very moment. The heyday of our coal severance fund is probably over. Montana did a good job of protecting a natural resource, and we will soon see that resource and her tax base decreased. Millions of tons of inventory lay in the ground. But it's an excellent book, and if you don't have time for all 400 pages, just read the last 200. With that, in today's independent record, I want to give kudos to Helena for being recognized as one of the top 100 cities. But notice that the article addressed mostly bicycling. And I've discussed that before. The tourist that spends the most per day in Montana is an elk hunter. But the tourist that spends the second most per day is a bicyclist. So they're going to be very important to our future. With that note, the bicyclists are going to come here to see our forest, and the current wildfire season, I think, gives us a head up, especially with what's happening in California, that we need to be more prepared. And I have promoted to the Forest Service that they create a volunteer firefighter service, just like we have our volunteer fire departments in our small communities, every Montana have the opportunity to learn how to fight forest fires so that when we need thousands of feet on the ground, that we have them here and they're trained. And I see that as a perfect activity to be done in January and February by DNRC and the Forest Service. This Sunday in the Great Falls Tribune home builder section, front cover, is a picture of a ranch. And it says that this is a 1,500-acre ranch. That's not true. It's a 500-acre ranch with 940 acres of BLM and DNRC land. It goes on to say that there's a mile of deeded Teton River, so that's where the 500 acres is. Six recorded water rights, a beautiful refuge that boasts large trophy deer and bird hunting. Now, the price for this ranch is $1,798 an acre. So, in essence, this family is selling DNRC and BLM land, but we are not reaping any benefits of that. But more importantly, I did not try to look it up, but I'm going to guess there's no access, public access to that BLM or state land, and therefore there's no access to the Teton River. Both public property and just think about, because access is the issue. And I have a series of articles here that have recently come out, one from the Wall Street Journal in July, and it talks about the economics of about people, but primarily it talked about migration. People are migrating to the West, and they're migrating to the West because of access to public land. And initially, this article started out addressing seniors moving to less suburban areas as part of their retirement plan. And those are the kind of people we want in Montana because they bring retirement checks with them for our income tax system. But also, economic research reports back up those migration studies and go on to say that this has been going on for 40 years. So it's not a new trend that economists are watching, but an old trend. And it's not only those baby boomers like myself, but they're also seeing where the my children and my grandchildren are starting to migrate into the more rural areas. Now, remember, that was in the Wall Street Journal in July. In the New York Times in August, there's a similar article written. And the gentleman says that he and his daughter are hiking in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, and it's all my land. And then he says, of course, it's also your land. It's an extraordinary national inheritance, one of the greatest gifts of our ancestors, our public lands. But it's only an asset if we can get to it. And then we have our fellow Montanan, Randy Newberg from Bozeman. Now, Randy especially is hunting on public land, but Randy is not afraid to use a helicopter to land on public land that is surrounded by private land. And he goes on to say, the amount of public land for elk hunting in the West is mind-boggling. For ease of acquiring tags and lots of public land, there are three states that stand out: Montana, Idaho, and Colorado. Most states, with the exception of Colorado, so now we're down to Montana and Idaho, allow public hunting on the millions of acres held by the states. Yet overnight camping on these lands is heavily restricted and in many states prohibited. And the importance of all these articles is the fact that they're going out all over the world. That, you know, this isn't the Bozeman Independent Record or the Helena Independent Record or the Great Falls Tribune. These are going out all over. We have a similar response in the March-April Bugle, which is part of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, which has helped buy public land in Montana. And what it talks about is driving down a county road in Montana, and all of a sudden there's a sign that says, private property on Medicine Lodge is closed, no access. And the travesty of that is those signs are up all over the place. But what they don't say is there's no access. That tells you there's no access. But really says it's for the next 18 miles. There's private land on your right, private land on your left. This is a public road. And at the end of that road, there's 40,000 acres of public land. And I would really like to see the Attorney General and the Land Board work with the sheriffs in Montana to help minimize some of this misadvertising that's going on. And again, there's another article in the same issue of Eagle Magazine talking about access, and access is one of their primary mission statements. But the more important thing is if people read that there's access for elk hunting this hard, and elk seem to be the thing everybody wants to hunt, is what do the bicyclists think? Oh, yeah. Let's see, Bozeman. Helen is one of the top 100, but now I hear that elk hunting is hard because there's no access. And then just recently, in the October issue of Atlantic Magazine, there's a new medical practice out, and they're called ecotherapists. Basically, it's a medical practice that is prescribing that people go out and exercise. But these doctors, because doctors are smart, they create maps. And on the maps, they identify different activities that can be done, so water sports or hiking or bird watching, whatever they think might appeal to their clients. So they're just not telling their clients to exercise. They're saying, go exercise at this park and do this. So that technology, you know, the computer, we can't hide anymore because the computer will find us. And again, Atlantic Magazine, now Montana's not mentioned in there, but we will be because of all the other articles that are out there about our public lands. But we need to make sure that we have access to them. And I would hope the board would set as a goal that next year at the annual report that we could announce that the land board has provided access to 40,000 acres of public land through whatever. And that would send a huge message across the world that we really care about our Western heritage.
Any additional public comment?